Chapter 24. I'm going to read verses 37 down through verse 39. We are living in the days of Noah, and I want you to give you something tonight, the similarities between Noah's day and today. So I want you to follow along in your Bible, if you will. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 27. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Notice these words. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, the last few weeks, we had a man from California, and he made the statement that the rapture was supposed to take place on the 12th of May, and it didn't happen, and now he says it's going to take place sometime in October, but it's still not going to happen according to him. Now why? Well, verse 35 says these words, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Without that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. We don't know when the Lord's coming. We do know that He is coming, and we better be ready for Him at any moment. And I hope every one of you here are. Now, Noah left a message for us today to learn from and to profit from the experiences he had in his lifetime. So today we're going to look at the message that Noah left for us at this hour. Our lesson will have the following categories in it. First of all, the similarities between Noah's day and today. I'm going to give you the opposite first. Then secondly, the message of Noah. And then thirdly, if we have the time, we'll show you the mode of rebellion as it's been revealed. Now, why do I tell you these things? Because people today don't seem to understand what's going on. Now, Noah is a very important person. And we find he's mentioned in Ezekiel, he's mentioned in Matthew, he's mentioned in Luke, he's mentioned in Genesis, and so on and so forth. And we find the Lord Jesus said, But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. All right? Now, let's look at Noah's day for just a moment or two. First of all, it was a completely different world than we live in. Now you say, Preacher, what are you talking about? Hold your seat now as I give you these truths. Number one, in Noah's day, there were no carnivorous animals. All the animals ate grass. Now, you look that up in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, and you'll see it so. Secondly, in the days of Noah, it had never rained. Thirdly, in the days of Noah, there were no continents or mountains. There was all one land mass. And fourthly, in the days of Noah, we find there was great preaching, but there was also tremendous things happening that caused individuals to or ignore the truth of God. Now today, what are we talking about? Today we have a different world. Today we have mountains. We have continents. And we also have floods. And so on and so forth. Now, in the days of Noah, here's the thing. They had never rained before. And people did not know what rain was. Well, down here in the Southland, if you're like I am, you're crying for rain. Because the creation of God in this area needs it desperately. Now, these are some of the things of Noah. But then I want you to notice also, in the days of Noah, here's what happened. They were days of corruption and violence. Now, let me prove that. Take your Bibles, if you will. You keep your finger on Matthew chapter 24. Go with me back to Matthew chapter 6 for just a moment or two. The book of Matthew chapter 6, and we'll show you the condition of the days of Noah. Now, when the Lord is speaking of the condition of the days of Noah, He's not speaking of the physical condition. He's speaking more of not only the physical condition, but also of the moral conditions. And we need to understand that. And in the days of Noah, I want you to notice, they were days of corruption and violence. Look at verse 5 of chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. All right, skip down to verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And are you listening? That's happening at this very hour. You better understand it. We're living in days of corruption and violence. Somebody was talking there last night, I believe it was, or yesterday, what's going on down here in the inner city in Atlanta. All right? Murders and corruption and so on and so forth. Go to Washington, and have you ever seen such corruption as you have across America at this hour? The reason? We're living in the days of Noah, and we better understand it. Then we find also the days of Noah were also given over to the lust of the flesh. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now what do you have here? These were days of what? Polygamy. Now you don't have to be ignorant concerning the days of Noah. All you need to do is go back to your Bible and read Genesis 4, 5, 6, and 7. And you'll have the Bible commentary on the days of Noah. Now, they were days of corruption and violence. They were days given over to the lust of the flesh. Now, what do you have here? All right. The sons of God did what? They took them wives of all which they chose. Are you listening? That's going on today, even amongst our so-called Christian people. You say, what are you talking about? I know a man right now. I've known him for years. And right now, as far as I know, he's supposed to be a believer, but he says he's supposed to be a believer, but he's on his seventh or eighth wife. A believer. Now, God created man for one purpose. One man, one woman. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. When God created man and Eve, or man in the Garden of Eden, He created Adam and Eve, and not Adam and Steve. And don't ever get away from that. And we find that's going on at this present hour. And in our schools today, our kids are being taught how to get along with what they call the different lifestyle of lesbianism and homosexuality or sodomy. Now, why do I tell you this? This world is being given over to lust and violence. And I want to say to you very kindly, it's going to get worse and worse. It's not getting any better. Now, why do I tell you this? Well, we find very clearly it was not only the days of corruption and violence, but then it was the days of the rejection of the gospel. Look again, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now what did you have here? Now hold your seat as I give you this truth. Write it down if you haven't ever remembered it, or write it down somewhere in your Bible. I want you to remember the term, the sons of God. Now, in the Old Testament, the sons of God always refer to angels and fallen angels. In the New Testament, the sons of God refer to believers. If you're saved here tonight, you're a son of God. I am too. I'm born again, and I'm a son of the Lord God of heaven, and I live in the New Testament. In the days of Noah, these were sons of God. What were they? They were the fallen angels that had left their first estate. And what did they do? They left their first estate because angels were never intended to marry the daughters of men. And these fallen angels, they were following the leadership of Satan, because Satan's design and intent was this. He was going to corrupt the whole human race so that Christ couldn't be born of the woman. And he was very successful. There's only one family that wasn't corrupt, and that was the family of Noah. Now, why do I tell you this? Because today we find the same thing is going on. Now, the lust of the flesh was prominent in those days. The lust of the flesh is prominent in these days. If you're like me, you get so tired of turning on the TV and seeing nothing but sex and corruption and everything else, you'll turn it off. And I'll tell you right now, that's what we need to do. Now, how come? TV is a wonderful instrument. And we find very clearly it can be used for the Lord God of heaven. But Satan, because in this world system, has gotten control of it. And what have they done? It's become a weapon of the devil instead of a weapon of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I would love to be on TV. I would love to have a great worldwide TV program like some of these preachers do. But I never will have. Number one, it wasn't God's plan. And number two, they wouldn't take that kind, this kind of preaching. Now, that's what it boils down to. And you better understand it. They wouldn't take your pastors preaching either. They wouldn't take Brother Neil's singing. They turn against it because of the fact that man today is an incorrigible sinner. And we need to understand that. And we're living in the days of Noah. Now, you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Days of corruption and violence. Secondly, they were days of the rejection of the gospel. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? All right, take your Bibles now and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and follow with me. Keep your finger on Matthew 24. We'll be coming back to it in a moment or two. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we find in verse 18 through 20, we see very clearly set forth the rejection of the gospel in the days of Noah. In verse 18 of chapter 3, 1 Peter, "For Christ also has suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, whereas few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." Now, what are you talking about? Here we find the rejection of the gospel. Hold your seat and pay close attention. There were millions of people on the face of the earth in the days of Noah. You better understand that, because it was an age of the longevity of life. Now, we don't have that today as much as we had in the days of Noah. Noah lived 932 years, and he died, all right? Methuselah lived 969 years, and he died. Now, God kept Methuselah alive 969 years because Methuselah was another indication of the fact that God was telling the people in Noah's day there was going to come a time of judgment. The name Methuselah means, "When he is dead, it shall be sent." And listen again. Methuselah died in the 600th year of Noah. And it was in the 600th year of Noah that God sent the flood. But we see very clearly, well, these were days of the rejection of the gospel. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? All right, turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, if you will. And I want you to notice, again, something about Noah. And we find Noah preached the gospel, but he faced rejection. Because in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned," and he didn't, "but cast them down from to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." All right, now listen carefully. Not only did Noah preach, but so did Enoch. Now, Enoch lived in the days of Noah, and God took him because Enoch went to heaven without dying. Take in your Bibles again and turn to the book of Jude, and you'll see the gospel that Enoch preached. In the book of Jude, verse 14, we read these words, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." And when Enoch preached that, are you listening? That's a segment of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the days of Noah were the days of the rejection of the gospel. Well, the days of today are the days of the rejection of the gospel. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, you would think under the ministry of this church, the people here, this church ought to be packed out. But they're not. You can go to the average church today and you'll find out that better than 50% of the people stay home on Sunday night. 75% of the people never come to prayer meeting if they have one. And many of the people today don't even have one. And we find people are talking all the time, and we see very clearly, well, we can only have one service. People won't come. And I'm always made to ask this question. You mean the Lord God of heaven is worth only 1 hour a week? Something is wrong, is it not? Well, I'll tell you, we're living in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The third thing about Noah was this. There were the days of demonic activity. Now, I mentioned before, and I'll say it again, the sons of God in the Old Testament always refer to fallen angels. Now, don't take my word for it. Look it up. The sons of God appear 5 times in the Old Testament, and every one of them have to do with the fallen angels. Now, you look that up for yourself. But are you listening? These were days of demonic activity. Now, the sons and the daughters, when they got together, they produced giants, and the Hebrew says Nephilim, which means fallen ones. And so we had a production of giants on the days of Noah, and we see very clearly it was days of demonic activity, and it's going on at this present hour. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, a Christmas or two ago, and I don't know if they do it yet, Walmart had what they call big signs. Buy a Ouija board. Now you get this. A Ouija board is an instrument used to call up demons. You say, how do you know? My sister, before she died and went to glory, all right, she had a group of young people. And one night they were all together, and when they went to bed, my sister had gone to bed, and somebody in that group, it was a church group now, mind you, somebody in that group had brought a Ouija board. And so they got there in front of that fireplace, and the fire was coming, and they started messing around with that Ouija board, and all of a sudden, a demon came out of that fire. He scared those girls, because that's what they were. He scared those girls so bad that a couple of them fainted. One of them couldn't sleep without sleeping by my sister. And I'll tell you right now, the Ouija board today is the instrument used to call up demons. And if you have anything like that around there, get rid of it. Burn it. And always remember one thing. The New Testament tells us that behind every idol lurks demons. And people today are being subjected to demon activity, and they don't understand it. Now let me prove that, if I may. Take your Bibles again, if you will. Turn to Timothy chapter 4 and listen to what the Word of God says. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. We read, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Isn't that going on at this present hour? Look again. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now what are you talking about? Apostasy. Preachers that at one time preached the truth are preaching an apostasy. We're living in the days of Noah. Turn again to 2 Peter, if you will, and look at verse 2. And we find very clearly, again, the Word of God brings this out. The book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, and verse 1. But as there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who secretly or privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many, and the word many really means the majority, will follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. What are you talking about, preacher? We're living in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now you get this. Not very many people were converted in Noah's day. In fact, there were only 8 of them. There's not many people today being converted in our churches today. Oh, there's a lot of religious profession. There's a lot of movement and so on and so forth. But are you listening? That's not the movement of the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is doing the same thing today that He did in the days of Noah. The Spirit did not strive with man very much in the days of Noah, and the Spirit of God is not striving with men today. Whether you believe it or not, we are living in the remnant of this age. Are you still with me? You're still listening? I'm bringing to you reality. These are facts. And you may say, I don't believe it. That doesn't change it any. They didn't believe it in Noah's day either. But we find it still came to pass, because here we find the similarities between Noah's day and today. There's a whole lot more, but I don't have time to go into all at this present hour. But then I want you to notice one thing. I want you to notice the message of Noah. Take your Bibles now, turn to the book of Hebrews, or chapter 11, and listen to what it says. Hebrews chapter 11. Here's the message of Noah. Verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now what do you have here? Number one, it was a message of warning. Now let me give you this again. In Noah's day there were no mountains, there were no continents. The first time the word mountains are mentioned, I saw in Genesis chapter 7. And I looked up that word in the Hebrew, and we find out that the word mountains in those days, in that particular passage, meant lower hills, like you have around this area. It's also in the New Testament called the hill country. All right? Today you have huge mountains. They didn't have them in Noah's day because they didn't have any continents. Now you say, well, preacher, can you prove that? I can, but I'm not going to do it tonight. I'll let you prove it. You look it up in your Bible. And the key word, if you want it, is the word Peleg. Find the word Peleg, and it'll tell you when the continents came into existence. Because the man's name was Peleg when the continents were brought about. The Hebrew word in those days meant land mass. It was in the days of Peleg that the land mass was divided. All right? That took place right after the Tower of Babel. Now you say, well, I never heard that before. Well, then you've learned something tonight. Look it up in your Bible and see it for yourself, because that's exactly what you ought to do. We find the message of Noah was a message of the warning of the judgment to come. Now remember, in the days of Noah, it had never rained. People did not know what rain was. And here was Noah building an ark on sandy foundation, long ways away from the rivers. And he was warning the people, and as he built that ark, he warned the people. He said, get ready to come, because the Lord God of heaven is going to send judgment on this earth. Well, Noah, what kind of judgment is it going to be? It's going to rain. Well, what did they do? They did the same thing to Noah that they're doing today. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and see it for yourself. 2 Peter chapter 3, and listen to what it says in the days with regard to the days of Noah. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But now look again, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Are you listening? God's going to baptize this world with fire. And all he has to do is turn the rivers and the lakes and the ocean, all he has to do is separate them. Because water is composed of H2O. Take them apart from each other and you have two volatile gases. And all God has to do is separate them, and I'll tell you right now, this world's going to explode. It's going to. Well, preacher, you expect me to believe that? Yes. Why? God said so. Well, I don't believe in it. It doesn't change it any. And we have a warning of that by the atomic bomb. And don't ever get away from that. We're living in the days of Noah. The days of Noah, we find, it was a message with a warning of judgment to come. But it was also a message of what? Of love and grace. God told Noah, Noah, build an ark. Now hold your seat as I give you this truth. In Grand Rapids, Michigan, there's some buildings there called the Holland Home. The first Holland home that was built to the exact dimensions of Noah's Ark. And it's still standing. That man that built that, he believed what God said, and he built the home there for the agent, and he made it the same dimensions as Noah's Ark. If somebody would say, has Noah's Ark been found? If it was found, I'll tell you right now, there would be fingernail marks on that wood. Now how come? Because are you listening? When Noah went into the ark and God sent that judgment, don't you think the people began to knock at the ark's door or knock at the ark and try to get in and they couldn't. And they would claw against that wood and they couldn't get in. And are you listening? In the Holocaust, that's exactly what the Jews did when Hitler put them in the oven. It was all concrete, but you can go to the Holocaust and you'll find finger marks embedded in that concrete where they clawed because they wanted so desperately to live. Well, in Noah's day, I'll tell you right now, the people clawed for the ark, but nobody could get in. God had shut the door. Noah's message was a message of judgment to come. It was a message of love and grace. God provided the ark, and God warned that generation of the wrath to come. And God today has provided the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's warning of the wrath to come, and men and women and boys and girls are absolutely ignoring it because they don't believe it. It doesn't change it one iota. And you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, we find very clearly the message was one of love and of grace. Now hold your seat again. There are three arcs in the Bible. Listen to what they are. The Ark of Noah was a refuge from the wrath of God. Put it down. All right? The second ark was the ark of Moses, and that was a refuge from satanic hatred. And then the third ark we find is the ark of the covenant, and we find it's a refuge from the law and the condemnation brought about by the law. And Jesus Christ is the ark of God. And we find the ark of God in Noah's day had three stories. It had one door. The door was in the second story. And we find the Lord Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. The only door in the ark was the door that they had to go through. And every individual had to go through that ark or they would have utterly perished. Now what are you talking about? A message of love and grace. God provided the ark for those people. God opened them and God warned them, I should say. And the door was open for both the clean and the unclean. What are you talking about? Animals went in there. Some were clean. Some were unclean. Now why? Because it's a picture of the various kind of sinners that are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Some are clean sinners. They're not as rotten and dirty as some of the others. And we find some of them are saved from the realms of the depths of the gutters, and others are saved from the realms of religious. But are you listening? All right. The ark was open, and we find the people had to go in, and we find the Lord Jesus Christ is the ark today of God, and the door is open, and we find the door is open for the various kind of sinners coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I like that word, come. See for the children. O for the old people. M for the middle-aged. E for everyone that will. Come. Come to Christ. All right. Noah preached it. He said, listen, he said, God's going to send judgment on this earth. They laughed at him. He built that ark and took him 120 years to do so. And we find what happened. All right. The day came when the ark was done. And God said to Noah, Noah, go in the ark. He turned to Noah's sons. He said, go in the ark. He turned to Noah's daughters, or daughters-in-law. He said, go into the ark. He turned to Noah's wife. He said, go into the ark. Each one of them, listen now, each one of them had to personally enter in through that door into the ark. Setting forth again that every individual has a personal responsibility to do what the Lord Jesus Christ has told us. And remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by Him. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Suppose you were to die the next 5 minutes. Where would you go? Heaven or hell? Well, you might say, well, preacher, I think I'd go to heaven. That's not good enough. You have a responsibility. And that responsibility is what? You personally have to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. As those people in Noah's day had to have a personal relationship with that ark. They couldn't stand on the outside and say, yeah, I believe it, but I didn't go in. They didn't believe it. And always remember one thing. What you truly believe, you act on. And don't ever get away from it, because the message of Noah was a message of love and grace. The door was open for both the clean and the unclean, and then it was a message of responsibility. Noah couldn't bring those people into the ark. Each one had to come by himself or herself. Noah's family was that way. Each one of them had to come. And I can see the family of Noah. I can see Shem looking back and walking up that ark, probably looking back for the last time, looking out over the world and walking into that ark. I can see his other children doing the same thing. And then when they were all in, listen now, God shut the door. Nobody could get in. Nobody could get out. Now, why do I tell you this? Because the message of responsibility was placed upon each individual. Those individuals were aware of the ark. And we find the message of salvation today and the responsibility of it is resting upon every individual. You here tonight, I've asked you this question. If you were to die within the next 5 minutes, where would you go? You'd either go to heaven or hell, depending upon your personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but preacher, I've been baptized. That's not good enough. Oh, preacher, I'm a member of the church. That's not good enough. Oh, preacher, I live a good life. That's not good enough. Oh, preacher, I uttered a prayer. That's not good enough. Did you enter into the ark? Did you enter into the Lord Jesus Christ by repentance and faith? Now hold your seat. Listen carefully. Those people that entered into that ark, they knew what they were doing. And are you listening? Once they went in, they didn't come back out and then go back in again. And once an individual enters into Christ, that individual is in Christ for eternity. Hallelujah. All right, look again. Not only was it a message of love and grace, but then I want you to notice something else. It was a message that ended abruptly. You say, what in the world are you talking about? All right, take your Bibles now. Go back to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. And I want you to notice this, if you will. In Genesis chapter 7, and verses 15 and 16, you have these words. Listen to it. Listen, if you will. And they that went in, verse 16 and 17, Genesis chapter 7. Well, let me read verse 15 also. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And then notice. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. All right, now let's go back there. Go back, if you will, to Genesis chapter 7 and look with me at verse 3. Listen to what God told Noah. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Now hold your seat. Noah and his family were inside the ark for 7 days and nothing happened. Are you chew on that? God shut them in. That Noah disappeared from that generation. They never saw him again. He never saw them again. And are you listening? When the Lord comes after us in this generation, the same thing is going to take place. We're going to disappear from this earth. We'll never see this earth again like it is at this present hour. We'll never see those that are unsaved again until they stand before the great white throne judgment, and we'll be sitting in judgment upon them. Now someone might say, I've never heard anything like that. Well, read your Bible. It's just as plain as day. Because what happened? Are you listening? Noah's message ended abruptly. Once you went in the ark, nothing. Nothing. 7 days later, the judgment came. Suddenly, positively, absolutely, abruptly, and indelibly, the fountains of the deep were broken up. And I personally believe that the earth was tilted to what it is at this present hour. And we find the rain came upon the earth. The fountains of the deep were broken up. The rain came from above. And it rained and rained and rained and rained 40 days and 40 nights. And we find the floodwaters rose up above and covered all the hills and killed every living thing on that earth. Are you listening? God's going to do the same thing to this earth. He's going to purify it and make a new earth. And then those of us that are saved are going to be with Him forever and ever. Because, are you listening? The ones that were left behind ultimately perish. The ones that are left behind, when our Lord comes after us, rest assured of one thing. They're not going to get converted. They're going to be lost. Because God's going to send them a strong delusion. Now my time is gone. I want to ask you a question. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Are you going to be with the Lord Jesus when He comes? Well, preacher, I hope so. That's not good enough. I want to be? Fine. Then sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners and you're the sinner. And when you're living here on this earth, all right, you warn people. We're living in the days of Noah. As I said before, I'm going to tell you again. I gave you facts tonight. These are facts. You can't deny that the days of today are similar to the days of Noah. And how much longer we're going to be here, I don't know. As I mentioned before, I'm 87 years old. I may never see you again on the face of this earth. And as I look upon you tonight, I may ask myself this question. All right, when I get to glory, will I see you there? These beautiful twin girls, I want to see them in glory. I don't know for sure if I will or not, because I don't know their spiritual condition. All right? The children that are with them. All right? You people here tonight, I'm looking upon you maybe for the last time. I'm going to glory. I may go before next week. My wife right now is slowly but surely dying. I don't know how much longer she's going to live. I don't know. But I do know this. She's about to go. And are you listening? This old sinner is not in good health like I used to be. But I'm going to go. But I'm ready to go. And are you listening? I don't want to see you in hell. Now I'll give you. Let me close with this, if I may. The message is still here. The message of the judgment of God will come. The disappearance of God's people will take place. The salvation is available right now for all who repent and believe. And we find very clearly. Listen now. The only reason the judgment hasn't come yet, the saints of God are still here. When God put Noah in the ark, that ended the day of grace for that world. When God takes away His people, it's going to end the day of grace for this world. It's going to go through a tremendous period of rebellion, of tribulation. But then we find, last of all, what is it? In Noah's day, there was a rebellion revealed. And what was it? It was a rebellion, first of all, against God's provision, which was the ark. The rebellion today is against God's provision, who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Secondly, we find also, listen carefully now, there was a rebellion against God's person. Noah's faith was an obnoxious faith. I preached on that some time ago. They were glad when Noah quit preaching. All right? Some of the people would be glad when I quit preaching. I don't know. But I've had individuals get mad at me like nobody's business. And while I was down here in Good Springs, Alabama, 9 years ago to the same day, a man and his wife came in. And it was the man's wife. She was the daughter of the man that was responsible for bringing me in contact with the folks in Alabama, and eventually with you folks. They're in glory now. Her parents are. She was there. Her husband is some kind of a professor of so on. And 9 years ago, when I began to preach to him, He got so mad at me that at the close of the service, he said, "You were too long-winded," and he said, "I don't care to hear what you said." Now you get this. 9 years ago, I never saw the man again until last Sunday at Good Springs, Alabama. He saw me. I didn't even recognize him until I started preaching. But as he sat there and glared at me. If looks could kill, I'd have been dead over and over again. And when the service was ended, I'll tell you right now, he stormed out that door. He wouldn't say goodbye to anybody. He couldn't wait to get away. And when it dawned on me, I said, "Lord, maybe you've given him one more opportunity to hear the truth." Now, are you listening? Maybe the Lord's given you one more opportunity to hear the truth. Now, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You're going to sit back there like you are? You say, "Well, I got plenty of time." No, you don't. The days of Noah are upon you. And when you're in this category, you're rebelling against God's provision. You're rebelling also against God's purpose, or I should say God's provision. And then you rebel against God's purpose. Why did God bring you here tonight? Want me to tell you? To listen to exactly what I've been preaching to you. That's His purpose. The Lord God of heaven doesn't want anybody in this room to die and go to hell. And you don't have to. But when you sit back and you don't care and you don't understand, all right, you sit back there and you might be hoping that I'd get over with because you say, "That preacher's getting awful long-winded." All right, you're rebelling against God's purpose. You have a purpose of God. You're going to fulfill that purpose. And what is it, preacher? All right, listen carefully as I close. You're going to get saved to the glory of God's grace. Or you're going to die and go to hell to the glory of God's justice. Either way, you're going to fulfill the purpose of God. Now, what's it going to be? I hope it's the glory of God in your personal salvation. Shall we stand?